Today in our session on advanced follow-up, we are going to be discussing how to lead a Bible study discussion group. And the key obviously has to do with preparation, because a successful Bible study leader needs to prepare for every section or phase of that study, because purposeful, stimulating, rewarding discussion doesn't just happen. Somebody has planned and prepared, if that in fact does happen. So in that preparation, how do you go about preparing yourself? And the first thing that you must do is to prepare yourself in the art of Bible discussion. That's why my question a little earlier to you when we were going through the homework assignment, how many of you had actually gone through a course and had some kind of training rather than kind of monkey see, monkey do, or at least we try and experiment. But I'm grateful for this part of the course, because if you're going to be involved in leading Bible discussion, there are some things that you can learn that will really help you. And if you've ever been through any course before, I encourage you to go back and look at those notes and study them again and try and add whatever we're going to put into this course together with that, in an effort to make you even better in terms of trying to prepare you to lead a group. And then you must prepare yourself in the study itself. And that means that you have got to be willing to put in the hours of preparation, of just plain old hard study, because people are going to look to you to give the guidance and direction, and you can't give it if you do not know the content of what you're studying. And oftentimes we'll do a study and it's prepared. You know, I'm suggesting to you that you find someone else and begin teaching this. But if you were over it 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 months ago, and then you try and teach this without having carefully gone through and marking your notes and knowing exactly what's on those pages, that you're not going to do a very good job. And sometimes we need to go back and review. And I think as many times as I've done this, even there in Singapore, I'd have to spend, you know, a whole day just reviewing 3 lessons. Now I spend a whole week rewriting 3 lessons in an effort to just prepare for this, so that when I stand before you, I know exactly where I'm going. And then another way in which we obviously need to prepare is in prayer, where we get before God and we're praying for those people, we're praying for the study. But of all the things, we need to pray for our own dependence upon God rather than ourself and our ability to be able to do this. But God, today, unless you guide me and give me the wisdom in the heart of these people, then all of my effort is going to be in vain. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So we need to pray for our own personal dependence upon Him. Then we need to ask God to give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to be able to lead that study, so that we, in fact, are discovering the things that God has upon His heart for us to discover. And then we need to have a certain sensitivity towards each of those members in the group. And the only way that sensitivity is going to come is if we ask the Spirit of God to give us that sensitivity to those people and to their needs, trying to understand where they are and where they're coming from in an effort to guide them to the truth of the Scriptures. Also, the leader must prepare the discussion itself. And every time that leader stands up there, he ought to know exactly where it is that he is going. And that's a nice way to say that he has either an aim or an objective. And if you do not know what you're trying to accomplish, other than to burn up an hour and to talk about God, you're going to end, you know, in a disaster with those people. And then not only must there be the aim, but I know how I'm going to accomplish that aim. And oftentimes we simply would call that the method that we're going to use. And if it's Bible discussion, then we need to have good questions ready for people when they come. And then the other aspect of that, we probably need to have an outline to know that this is the way that we're going to conduct this study. And I would suggest to you that in good Bible discussion, in that first part, that we start out by sharing how we have applied what we looked at last week. And by that, I am suggesting that we not study this for knowledge's sake, but for application of how we can take the truth of the Word of God and apply it to our own heart and life and allow the Spirit of God to change us and to transform us into the likeness of His own Son. And it's easy enough to sit down and to write out an application, because the Spirit of God normally has a lot of leeway in dealing with various areas of our life. But it's one thing to write the application. It's another thing to discipline yourself day by day to apply it. And perhaps one of the ways that you could start your group is after you have prayed. So why don't we just take a few minutes and let's go back to last week's application and see, you know, how you were able to apply it. And then just give people maybe the first 5 to 10 minutes in sharing their ability to apply that application. And then the second part of that perhaps could go to a the actual Bible discussion itself. And here, it obviously, is where you want to spend the bulk of your time. And if you have an hour-long study, why, then you may want to put somewhere in the neighborhood of 40, maybe upwards to 45 minutes into this part of the group. And the important thing is that we do not have to extract every nitty-gritty detail. If anything, you ought to walk away, and that there's a hunger in things that people wanted to share, but we were just so busy sharing, we just plain didn't get to all of them. And people are kind of excited, rather than to kind of, you know, just wring the blood out of the turnip, so to speak, until when we get through, boy, I mean, there's nothing left. We have extracted every thing that there is to extract, and nobody could either add nor detract from it. And I don't think you want to do that, because you are going to be there for days and weeks trying to do that. And then obviously the last part, again, you want to spend some time praying over what God has taught you in that study and how that can be applied to your own life. Also, there must be the preparation for the physical arrangements. And we don't want to take these things for granted, because the way that you're seating, the lighting, the ventilation, and so forth can all cause you a certain amount of disturbance. If people are looking at the back of heads and it's so hot in there that, you know, even if you wanted to stay awake, you couldn't stay awake to save yourself. And I have suggested here a little checklist, and in lead out it also covered many of these same things. But we need to see that the seating is comfortable and that everyone can see each other as well as the leader. And then I probably ought to have a watch to keep track if I've gone to the effort of making out a little time chart of how we're going to start this thing and how much time on each thing, and to keep to that if at all possible. And then to make sure that the lighting is adequate, make sure that the ventilation is there, and then to see that somehow we are free from the distractions. If the room that we're in is kind of the pathway where people have got to come and go, there is a great deal of disturbance that is going to be inflicted upon that group. And if at all possible, we ought to get off someplace where everybody is not traipsing through. Having done that, we now need to come to actually preparing the discussion itself. And some of you have been in discussion groups where the questions just, you know, somehow make you a little uneasy. Either they are so simple or they are so hard that you don't have a clue what they're saying. Or the other possibility is that the question itself just absolutely kills any discussion. We're talking about, Jesus dying upon the cross, and somebody may ask, did Jesus die for our sins? And there's obviously only one, you know, word answer for that, yes. And that didn't create much of a discussion at all. And so to write out good questions is not all that hard, but we've got to write questions that promote discussion. And I'm going to suggest to you that there are questions for discovery, there are questions for understanding, and then there are questions for application. And in that discovery question is all we're simply trying to figure out, well, what did it say? And then in that understanding, well, what does that mean? And then, of course, in the application questions, how can I apply this to my own personal life? And in each one of these phases of discovery, understanding, and application, Charlie has already suggested to us that we need to have launching questions, then we need to have guiding questions, and then we need to have summarizing questions, and we need those for each one of these three phases. And so in a little, you know, kind of outline for our time together, we start off, we spend 10 minutes where we are dealing with this sharing from our applications from last week, and then we actually get into the discussion itself, and we started off with a discovery question. And first of all, we've got to launch that discovery, then we have got to guide it, and then we've got to summarize it. And again, that launching question in the discovery phase is just, what does it say? And then from there, we are going to go all the way through where we have got both discovery, we've got the understanding, and we've got application as we work our way through the various sections of whatever study or discussion that we're going through. And then again, to come back and simply to apply this. Now, the launching questions, let's look at them, because in each phase we need to have the launching questions, and this brings out facts or opinions of people which deal with what does this say. And these questions guide the study for us. And everybody, obviously, in this discussion has got to do a certain amount of preparation. But once they have done that preparation, then as I launch out with those discovery questions, it gives them the opportunity in this section here, what does it say, or the discovery questions, for them to be able to share what they feel this passage was saying to them. And in this, we don't want just kind of a parroting session where they just, you know, parrot back what's been said, though there certainly needs to be a discovery of the facts. And oftentimes when we lead Bible discussion, we don't really have those launching questions, and people have done the study, and then we come back and, all right, well, what did somebody get for question number one? And what did somebody get for question number two? And what did somebody get for question number three? And people think, good night, I've already answered the questions. I don't really need to come to the study, especially if I think I understand it. And what we want to try and do is, through that discussion, is to actually progress people's understanding and to carry them a step beyond the preparation that they have already done, so that they say, boy, I'm glad I came tonight, because I didn't understand that, and that just one little gem of truth. And for some of you, you know, this morning in our discussion, you know, the fact that Charlie kind of latched on that it's obedience. And boy, I could have read just right over that. And I think, boy, I'm glad I was there, because that spoke to him, and the fact that he focused upon that particular aspect, where other people may have just, you know, kind of right on over their head. But boy, you'll go back and you'll think about that now. So, in this discovery, launching questions, our aim is to focus before the whole group what the members have discovered individually. How do you do this? When doing a prepared study, such as studies in Christian living, it's all marked out section by section. Go to your Bible study section there in your Bible. And in these question and answers, you'll notice that there are the broad headings. Who is God? What is God like? What does God do? What does God expect from us? And so you have got four major headings there. And so rather than for me to come back, well, what did you get on question one? Somebody, what did you get on question number two? That we come back, who is God? And we launched the discussion. Well, as you did your study this week, what did you discover about who God is? And now it isn't question one, two, or three, but I use that heading up there and I launch our discussion. And so it gives everybody an opportunity to take what they have individually discovered and begin to interact and to share. And as somebody has suggested, it's not a bunch of kind of one-way conversations between the leader and the participants in the group, but somebody picks this up and someone else jumps on it, and the leader just kind of stands back here, you know, and waits to get back into the discussion, because the people, and if you have got good questions that will launch that, why, then they'll do that. Now, in the understanding launching questions, the aim is to help the group more fully understand the meaning and the relationships of the truth that is discovered. Now, how do you do that? Ask yourself what words or phrases in this section may not be easily understood. Then base your launching questions on those words. For example, can anybody explain to us what does it mean to be born again? Because somebody says, oh, you got to be born again, you know, an answer to that. Well, in that understanding section, we've discovered that you have to be born again. But now as we come to that, what does it mean? What do you understand by the phrase, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me? What do you understand about that? What does that really mean? And again, in this understanding, trying to figure out what it is that God is saying. And then in the application, the launching questions here, the aim is to stimulate and assist members to make personal application, which will cause them to remember to apply these truths that they've discovered to their own personal lives. How do you do that? Encourage members to relate their Bible discoveries to their daily life and then instruct them how to write personal application. And at this point, those personal pronouns are the secret. It isn't that, well, we don't pray enough. I don't pray enough. And when people, you know, bring those plural pronouns, why, you always want to ask them if they got a frog in their pocket. But somehow it has got to focus on their own personal life. What does this specific passage say? What does it say to me? And how does the Spirit of God want me to apply that to my life? And for many people, this is a brand new thought for them. And if you write good application for yourself, they'll see what you're doing. And then if each week we are focusing upon that application, it's one thing to write them, it's another thing to do them. And people do what you inspect rather than what you expect. And so next week we just come back and we kind of started off not so much as inspection, but on a more positive attitude, one of sharing what happened as you tried to apply these things from last week. And it really is exciting what God will do in your life as you begin to apply the truth of Scripture. That's the launching aspect. And now the guiding, which is a little easier in each section of the study. Guiding questions should follow the launching questions. And the guiding questions encourage everyone in the group to take part. And so we kind of launched this out. And now we got it by saying, well, what do some of the rest of you think about this? And encourage other people to take and to enter in to that discussion. Does somebody else have something they'd like to add to that? Yes. And what you're doing is you're kind of guiding that. But again, it's encouraging people to participate in that study. Well, the thing you don't want to do is say, boy, how dumb can you get? Or you're wrong. And oftentimes people do, Jim, as you have very well put your finger on it, come up with some real bummer answers. And but people do. And normally, rather than you as the instructor or the leader to take it on, is you say, well, what does some of the rest of you think? And not try necessarily to polarize that. So that you got people on both sides of the fence. And if somebody's got a bummer of an answer and you've got an intelligent group of people who have a fair maturity about the Word of God, that they'll realize that's wrong and they will do as much not to attack, But to try and bring that into focus as nicely and as gently as possible. And if somebody, you know, you don't have that, and there's somebody, you know, who kind of, then maybe after class I'm going to have to get with him and say, now, you know, you obviously have a great deal more of maturity, but by shooting them down, you don't help them at all. And the thing we're trying to do is to bring all of this into focus. And that's the thing that we've got to do, because that leader has got to be the great encourager and not the squelcher, because you're only going to squelch people about once, and they may try you the second time, but you just can't make those kind of mistakes very often and be successful in leading. Okay. Appreciate that, Charlie. Now, one of the things that we want to do when we're leading this Bible discussion, there are some people who almost kind of become the teacher. And maybe rightly so, because, you know, they've done an immense amount of study, and other people are just kind of playing it from their hip pocket, so to speak. And so when you ask a question, boy, I mean, Johnny on the spot, he got the answer to that every time. And yet at the same time, we don't want that person to become, you know, kind of the teacher for the group. But we need to get those other people entering in and sharing. And then in this particular section, we've also got to be very, very sensitive to what the Spirit of God is trying to teach. And as Charlie, you know, has pointed out there, just like, you know, everybody sees it, everybody's need is just a little different. And the Spirit of God can take this verse out of this passage and he can speak to her on one thing and her on another and her on another and, you know, in a little different aspect. And we've got to be sensitive to what it is that the Spirit of God is trying to say, and to focus around those things so that his message does come through. And then in that last aspect, there's the summary. And this has to do with clarifying and arranging logically the main points discussed in that phase. And as we do that, we may want to come along and to highlight some particular truth as we go back and to summarize and try and put that all together for people, and then move on when time is up, even though we haven't fully exhausted everything that's in that verse. We've extracted the most part, and we've got to go on because of time, and we just use that summary there to kind of tie that together and then launch out into that next phase. Now, this kind of, you know, a little plan can work on almost any kind of study that you want to do, whether you're doing a chapter analysis type or whether you're doing this preparatory sort of question and answer to kind of lay a basic foundation so that you can eventually go on to chapter analysis type Bible study. And I think one of the greatest disappointments to me, particularly in this group, is that I am not with you long enough where that we could be focusing upon chapter analysis, because this, you know, works so beautifully. And as long as people are just doing question and answer, they're not really getting the full benefit of learning to feed themselves from the Word of God like you can do when you begin to take a book apart chapter by chapter, verse by verse, phrase by phrase, word by word, and then to end up putting it back together. But the same kind of thing where you've got your launching questions for discovery, for understanding, and for application. And I do commend this to you in a very significant way, because next week we are going to concentrate a good deal of our time at the beginning of the class on the application of this, where I'm going to ask you in the Bible study section, which those of you who are here this morning will not have because somehow it got overlooked, but I'll have it to you by midweek. And for Charlie and Howard, I'll give you the chapter, and you guys have got the books. I want you to come back and do the questions. And I think what I'm going to do is for the first section, Jan and Peggy. For the second section, we're going to have Jeanette and Billy. And for the third section, we'll have Howard and Charles. And for the fourth section, whatever that main heading there is in this lesson, there'll be at least four. You and Terry go to work on that so that as we come, then I'll have you each lead a part of the study. No, just do it yourself, and I may ask you to lead the first part, and or I may not call on you next week. I may call on Jeanette, but you want to be ready in case I choose you. And the following week, why, then I'll pick the other. So. So that's what we're going to do for next week in part of the homework assignment for this little section on how to lead Bible discussion. Any questions? Simple question. But for Bible study to work well, there has got to be a certain commitment on the part of that group. So rather than to delude the group with somebody who just won't do it, I think what I would rather try and do is pull that person out, and if I have to work on a kind of an individual basis with them, because he's sitting there and he just kind of sharing his ignorance from the top of his head, which may do more to confuse, and the other people sit there and they've made an honest effort, and before long they think, well, he didn't prepare, and so nobody will be upset if I don't prepare, and before long you got everybody operating from your hip pocket.